This morning, President Trump's chief economic advisor said he thinks Republicans have the votes to pass health care reform. Here's Gary Cohn speaking on CBS.
Do we have the votes for health care? I think we do. This is going to be a great week. We're going to get health care down to the floor of the House. We're convinced we've got the votes, and we're going to keep moving on with our agenda.
And late last night, the House and Senate reached a deal to keep the government funded through September. Joining us now is NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Jeremy.
And do they have the votes on health care?
It's not clear that they do. We have not seen a nose count or a vote count that changes fundamentally from where they were at the end of March. You know that they tried to do this last week by saying confidently they had the votes and here we go and now we're going to the floor. And, well, that didn't happen. We do expect them to make another effort this week. But the question still is, if they brought the House Freedom Caucus on board, that's the most hardcore conservative group, how many votes did they lose in the center in the process?
And how many votes would they lose in the Senate? Because it would have to eventually get through the Senate as well. Now, President Trump created some confusion about the bill yesterday when he said that under the latest version, people with pre-existing conditions would be guaranteed coverage as they are in Obamacare. Here he is in an interview with CBS's John Dickerson.
And one of the fixes that was discussed pre-existing was optional for the states.
Sure. In one of the fixes. And they're changing it.
Oh, okay.
And changing
it. So it'll be permanent.
Of course.
Okay.
This
well, that's a development, sir.
Ron, there are a lot of health policy experts who say that is not true. That is not in the bill. What do we know about this?
There is language about pre-existing conditions in the bill. Yes, the president's right that there is a clause about it. But the bill also gives the states the option to opt out, to say, no, we would rather have lower premiums and we would rather set up these high-risk pools and we would like to do this and that, but we don't want to grant you the sort of assurance, the guaranteed issue, and the essential health benefits package that would cover people with pre-existing conditions. That will be left up to the states, and that means if you happen to live in a state that wants to go that route, many states might, you don't have any assurance of coverage under your pre-existing conditions.
What about the short-term budget that is expected to pass this week? They've reached a deal to keep the government funded through September. When you look at what's in it, it's got more money for the military, no money for the border wall, even though it does have money for border security. It says specifically it can't be used on the wall. No cuts to Planned Parenthood, very little cutting for the EPA. Seems like Democrats are getting a lot of what they wanted in this bill, even though Republicans control all the branches of government.
Well, the two leaders of the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate immediately went out with celebratory statements last night. We haven't heard anything like that from the Republican leadership. And as you say, there are actual instructions saying you can't spend this money on the wall. So there's a clear defeat there for the president. He punted that off into football season, saying they'll take care of it in the fall. And non-defense domestic spending actually goes up under this bill, even though President Trump has said he would veto any bill that did that. We have seen no veto signal from the White House, and they're actually trumpeting this as something of an achievement. And, you know, the big cut that they wanted to make to the National Institutes of Health didn't happen. The evisceration of the EPA is not in there. They only cut it by 1%. It's a little bit difficult to see how this isn't a victory for the minority Democrats.
Now, Ron, we've been hearing some clips from CBS because Trump gave an interview to John Dickerson. And one of the things that came out today is that that interview ended rather abruptly. Dickerson was pressing President Trump about what he meant when he claimed in a tweet without evidence that President Obama wiretapped his campaign. And this is what happened.
I just wanted to find out, though, you're the president of the United States. You said he was sick and bad because he had tapped
you. You can take it any way you want.
But I'm asking you because you don't want it to be fake news. I want to hear it from President Trump.
You don't have to ask me.
Why not?
Because I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinions.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the president of the United States.
It's enough. Thank you.
That was the end of the interview. What do you make of that, Ron?
President turned and walked away with a gesture. You have to say that there was a point of exasperation there where President Trump thought that he was just ending the interview, and then John Dickerson asked another question and a rather pointed one. There has been a certain amount of suggestion from some of the people in the administration that they'd like to take a look at the limitations on what reporters can do and what is defined as reality in the media. He's going to need the cooperation of Congress and the courts if he wants to change that kind of law. Those kinds of restrictions, the chances of that happening, not very good.
That's Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Ron, thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.